Lying. We are smoking the competition.
Hey, literally, man. And figuratively.
Figuratively, yes, this is true. We are Dukes and Bell. We're hanging out at Buffalo's Cafe, Flowery Branch, man. It's so good to see listeners up this way. Come out and hang out with us. 3446 Winder Highway. We're going to be here until 6:30 tonight. And want to remind you, if you're coming through tonight after 5, all-you-can-eat wings, man. $21.99.
What?
Yeah.
They're going to lose money on us.
Yeah, 20 on every Wednesday, okay, just so you guys know, every Wednesday. But after 5 o'clock, 5 to 9, $21.99, all you can eat. By the way, no sharing. Don't even think about it. No sharing. Kids eat free here, Mike, Sundays per an adult entree. But
ooh,
your kids can come in and eat free that are under 12 years old if you order an adult meal.
Maybe next week I'll bring Lupe and Pinto up here from Costa Rica. Still working at the Nike factory, and we'll get them as well.
Those illegitimate children you have?
Now, describe illegitimate. They send Dad a polo every year.
Speaking,
it takes tiny little fingers to make those threads.
Speaking of things that have happened today, we'll get you caught up on the NFL. Tyler Allgeier, our conversation with him. But today was weird because we got here. I saw Mike at camp. Things were fine. He left camp, and then he gets here, and things are not as good simply because he went and got a haircut.
Yeah.
And people are commenting on this photo.
Yeah, let's take a look at the comments real quick. Now, it does range. Some guys say not so bad. Next time, guy gives me a recommendation down on the south side of Peachtree City. Guy says, still beats the photo that we have on our website, which they still haven't changed.
When you were bald?
Where you and I look like literally casino hosts in Atlantic City at Harris. Give him another marker. 10, that's as far as he gets. But, yeah, that's a bad look right there. Another guy says, the good news, it grows back, --, most of the time. You'll be all right in a couple of days. It's honestly not so bad. Did you pay him or her? Add some gel. You're all good.
Add some gel.
Damn, man, says Stephen Hinton. Guy says, looks like my past Air Force supervisor, Master Sergeant back in the day.
Yes, that's when you pulled the hat off, I was like, yo, left. Yo, left.
No. And Rajko says, you must have done something to make the barber mad. No.
Did you just say something?
No. I said, where are you from?
Armenia.
I didn't actually say, sorry about the genocide. I just said that on the radio. I'm just saying, you know, just trying to break the ice, you know, make small talk. You know, where are you from? You know, oh, okay. Not much. There's really nowhere to go with an Armenian
conversation. There isn't. No. I hear you. I get
which it. I tried with the Kardashians, which she shot down.
Oh, yeah. She didn't like that. No, look. I mean, you're cutting my hair. I want to have a conversation with you. I just don't want to sit in the chair for the next 30 minutes. How long does this cut take, by the way?
Oh, it was brief. She butchered me in about 15 minutes. And then really didn't do the great job. So I go to the Walgreens at Flowery Branch. And so I'm like, where's the scotch tape? So I go get some scotch tape. And the girl, and I look at the girl at the counter. I go, can I just use this? She's checking me out. I'm so itchy because I'm trying to like make that little ball of scotch tape.
Oh, yeah.
And mop up the extra hair on the back of your neck, which is, you know.
She didn't even clean you up?
Not properly.
Really?
I mean, she's
this
like,
is ridiculous.
She's pushing 75 in defense. I don't know.
Come on, man. You got to at least clean me up.
I know Armenian don't crack, but still, I mean, she was getting up there. It was not optimal. I blew it.
Man, put that alcohol back there. Clean me up.
In hindsight, I should have probably stayed at the first place I went to that had a 35-minute wait.
Okay. Oh, that's why you left.
You know me. I've got no patience.
Your impatience.
I've got
hurt
no
you again.
Yes, it always comes back to
this me. Hurt you again. See, you should have waited.
In the immortal words of Mr. Miyagi and or whoever the guy that talked to Kane on Kung Fu, patience, grasshopper.
Let me ask you this, though. What is the person who cuts your hair normally going to say when you show up? And they're going to be like, oh, you don't want to. Your barber knows. If anybody knows, your barber knows you went somewhere else. You went behind their back.
I've got a girl in Peachtree City. I got a guy who works at Rishi, which is the very expensive, very quality salon in Colony Square.
Yes, it is.
G Money, you ever get your hair cut over there?
Yeah. The shop downstairs?
It's tight. They do a great job. I mean, you get the full shower. You're not going to be itching. You know, they scrub
clean
the back.
You up.
Yeah, the whole thing. You know, they clean up the back, you know. But what, Day-Day, why are you shaking your head? Put him on the microphone. Why are you looking, watching, judging?
Go ahead.
No judgment. No judgment.
You're shaking your head at me. You're making a judgment. It's a nonverbal communication.
Listen, man, Carl said it best.
Go with what you know?
Go with what you know.
I know.
You got to stick with one person.
I know.
That thing could have grown out one more day. You would have been all right. But no.
Now you got to wear a hat.
This is a national chain where you put your phone number in, and she goes, oh, hi, Mike. So she knows, but they tell you what you get. I've had the same haircut for 10 years. It's the same cut.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, Yeah, it's ugly. Take a look at Mike Bell ATL. And right. For free, feel free to comment. We enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm glad guys are commenting, by the way. All right. Yeah, go see the cut. He pulled the hat off again. You see me in the
background. You know what? I might just shave my head for the weekend. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. Now, Day Day. All right, put Day Day on the mic. Again, you're shaking your head again. Have you ever been? Are you now a member of the Hare Krishna cult?
No, it's just, listen.
He said no. Day Day didn't
when
have
did he have
say.
Been a part of Hare Krishna at any point in his life, Mike?
I don't know. He's shaking his head at me again. And by the way, you young millennials and Gen Z, and Carla caught a little bit of this because I had this in my childhood. Do you remember going to the airport when the Hare Krishnas used to be there? They made fun of it in the movie Airplane.
They do.
Literally you would walk in the airport and there would literally be, it became the place to protest or religious groups would come and like, remember when Robert Stack, as the captain, comes through the airport and he winds up like kung fuing guys and beating
them up. Getting
him
out of the way.
It's like, Jews for Jesus. You know, yeah. Hare Krishna, pow! You know, yeah, that's the way it used to be.
Yeah, you could do that. Now you can't even get in the airport
to
do that.
That's correct.
All right, man, we're moving along. Mike, go check out the pick and see what you guys think. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe. Let's get to 4th and 1. Fourth and One's brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, Tyler Allgeier in our conversation with our running back guys. But Keenan Allen, Mike, signs with the Chargers, 1-year deal, played 11 years of his career with the Chargers, left. Now he's back. Remember, he went to the Bears.
Right.
Bears went out and acquired a couple of other wide receivers, and so he was available, and then they had an injury. Actually, they had a retirement, to be honest with you, with the Chargers. But you said it. Keenan Allen has – had moments, but as a fantasy football guy, oof, he's just been a killer.
I mean, early in his career, this guy looked like a fast track to the Hall of Fame. He's got over 10,000 yards receiving, but he's just a guy that just, he wears you out. You might have drafted him the year he had 1,100 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns, or you got him the next year when he had 752 yards receiving.
That's right.
You know, or 1,243 and 7 touchdowns, then 744. One thing, though, even though he did play for a Bears team, which probably should have fired their head coach and brought in a real offensive mind, this guy's got 14 touchdowns his last 2 years.
It's pretty
so
good.
So as much as I'm aligning him as a fantasy producer, he's got 66 touchdowns, and his worst year of production early in his career and injury prone was 4. He averages about 6.5 a year. Mike, so not the worst guy you could get.
No. And familiarity. Now, the thing is, Ladd McConkey, Georgia, has become that dude, right? He's the guy that they're looking for, and he's got a great connection with Justin Herbert. But Mike Williams surprised the team last month and retired. And so they were like, hey, we need another wide receiver.
Right.
Allen is 33 years old, guys. While we're talking about this real quick, I want to bring this back to the Falcons because you asked me yesterday. Shark is doing nothing, Mike. DJ Shark is doing nothing.
No, and I don't know how – I asked Archer because he always – Dave Archer, watching, listening,
judging.
No, but I asked Arch, I said, should I have more expectations for Shark? He goes, there are a lot of complexities to this offense, as we found out. Remember even Kirk Cousins was dealing with pre-snap motion and everything else. But I think route running, you always think it's simple. It's not. There's nuances to it. But maybe he's just older. And he just can't do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
A guy with size and good speed early in his career, but he's dealt with injuries
the
rest of it.
Here's the thing, and maybe the offensive understanding, the offense is one aspect of it, but I got to tell you guys something, and we've been talking about this guy. Casey Washington, man, is making plays. He made plays today in this scrimmage. What?
A little more. I heard Randy Mack talk about this. He needs to be a little more vertical as far as athleticism. I think he's got it in him. But, I mean, if you look at – I know Drake – maybe it just shows you how good Drake is.
Yeah, he's not Lynn Swan, guys.
But Drake's catch radius is like being like a pterodactyl. Sometimes with Casey, I just see something. There's catches to be made, like the one on the flat across from us.
Okay.
Just elevate a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
He made a play yesterday in the indoor facility, a couple of plays. Again, and it's sparingly because you're not getting the ball every down, right? You're not getting the ball every play. But I like what I've seen with Casey Washington. He made a play today, and I literally looked at Bo Morgan, and I was like, this dude's making plays. And we kind of just shook our heads like every day he shows up. This is the flash I talk about, where he may not be a star on this team, but he is going to potentially be a contributor, especially if Darnell Mooney continues to be out. And that's why I bring this back to DJ Shark. He hadn't shown us enough.
A 6th-rounder last year out of Illinois got the concussion late in the season, had to be a special teams contributor. You said it. What is camp about? Opportunities.
Yes.
Do you step through that door? And he's got a great chance to do that. We talked earlier, guys were asking us about some of the undrafted free agents. Kobe Bryant was pretty good the other day.
He was.
When we were outdoors, I thought he was okay today.
I think he got a pick that day.
Yeah, Nick Nash. We saw Nick Nash end the series yesterday or 2 days ago with a touchdown or a big reception that was on a touchdown drive. But, yeah, the undraft, it's harder as an undrafted free agent. It's harder as an undrafted free agent.
It is, no doubt. Hey, man, Dak Prescott tweets to Micah Parsons, and people are like, what does this mean? He tweeted out, I can't say the word on air, but it's the F word.
Oh.
And it was F man. And when asked about it, Dak Prescott said, look, Micah knows what I mean. This is frustrating for everybody because now apparently Jerry's not talking to Micah, Mike. So not only do you have the fact that they're not talking to his agent, Micah says, I'm not going to talk to Jerry. Jerry's not talking to Micah. This thing's not getting resolved anytime soon. And the latest today, coming from practice yesterday, was Jerry was asked, do you think he'll be ready for week one? And Jerry said, probably not. Like, he is completely not positive about
it. It's like the conversation you and I had, I think it was a week ago. If you're the Braves, what are you doing? Are we trying to win a championship? You're the Cowboys. Now, I know you have a salary cap and there are limitations, but what are you doing? Why do you take every single negotiation with every star until the 11th hour, you know, and the 59th minute?
True.
You know, why does this always happen?
So, Jerry,
why do you take the drama out of it? Why do you say these things?
The quote was, is he going to be available for the regular season opener? No, absolutely not. How would I know that? Well, Jerry, you're cutting the checks.
You just said it.
Like, he literally responded, how would I know that? So, Dak tweets this out, and people lose their mind. Like, what is Dak saying? Dak is just saying what all his teammates are saying.
Right. I mean, this has become one of those like situations where you've got someone. It's like your dad or whoever the patriarch of the family is, the great grandfather. He's pushing 100, and he can't make good decisions. And you really need to have power of attorney.
Yes. Yes.
They need power of attorney.
That's what
Jerry Jones.
That's what they need.
Because he's just all you're doing is anybody who's on your team hates your guts, and enjoys the money you're giving him, but they don't enjoy playing there. Because I think at their heart of hearts, almost everybody on that Cowboys roster wants to win a championship. Yeah. And you know you're never going to get there the way things are being run. So it drives me crazy. Meanwhile, up in New England, a guy knows something about Super Bowls, Mike Vrabel. So we've talked about scraps and fights at practice. So when there's a scrap at practice, they had a joint practice with the Commanders and the Patriots. And it's they never identified the Patriots player. Who dives in? Vrabel comes in. Like Superman says, basically flies in. Vrabel ends up at the bottom of a mass of humanity, according to Phil Perry, who covers the Patriots up in Boston.
And he got cut, right? Something happened. He got a busted lip.
He got a contusion and he got a busted lip as he's literally in the middle of like about eight guys trying to pull guys apart from each other.
The funny thing is, if one of you were at the bottom of that scrum and you were going at somebody, then you see Vrabel's face.
Right.
Like, you're like, I'll kill you. Is that Mike Vrabel? You know what I mean? You're like, get your hands off me. Vrabel, what you doing in here? Either way, man, he's a tough dude. They're gonna have his persona, right?
Right.
Belichick got lucky because he got the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. There's no debating that. But he also had dudes like this early in the Patriots, winning Super Bowls, playing for him, Mike. And I think Vrabel's bringing that back to New England. They're going to be a tougher team. I really believe that. And now, by the way, I do believe in Drake May. I think Drake May took a step last year, sort of like what we've talked about with Bryce Young. And by the way, Dave Canales says Bryce Young disagreed with him for benching him last year, but he continued to lead the team and he earned his teammates' trust. And now Canales says, Mike, he's showing that this is his team. Bryce Young may have needed that benching more than we anticipated, and now he may be a dude like we thought he would be coming out of Alabama. I know he's smallish. But, guys, that had nothing to do with his playmaking ability. We saw it at Alabama. And it's almost like he got to the pros. They fired his coach. He got a new guy. He got screwed in the process, was not quite sure what to do with the football. Sat on the bench for like 8 weeks, came back. He was a different player.
Right. And sometimes it's just – I know fans hate to hear it. Sometimes you do have to watch. We want to see a guy just jump in, be the man. Doesn't always happen that way.
Hey, man, coming up, Tyler Allgeier. Stop by to talk with us. We love this guy's energy. You will, too. And we asked him a few things, including Mike pressing him on whether or not he's going to be a Falcon long term. Wait to hear it next. One of our listeners asked us, as we were talking about the Braves, and you know I've said shut everybody down. I don't want to see any of these guys that are coming back off the IL. But he said, where do you stop? And I said, when your season is lost, there's no reason to bring guys back. But I will tell you this, because some of you have said, well, why would I go to the ballpark, blah, blah, blah. Well, the first 15,000 fans through the gates on August 22nd are going to receive a 1995 World Series replica ring, Mike.
Nice.
In honor of the 30th anniversary of the 95 championship team.
David Justice, who told you fans to get off your butt and make some noise. It hits the game winner and Tom Glavine on the bump when it goes down.
It was big, man. Celebrating with the pregame parade, on-field ceremony, Maddox, McGriff, Javi, Moore. They're going to be all there.
I'm Fred McGriff, and I totally endorse this video.
So if you want to get people to the ballpark, that's up. Mets are in town, but I'm just telling you, like, there are going to be more than 15,000 fans there to get maybe a replica ring.
Now, that's – and look, 95 was a special time. Should have been more. And 96, don't get me – again, that's another conversation.
What's that?
Should have been a dynasty.
Oh, yeah.
Should have been three.
Oh, yeah.
Should have been –
four.
You know how I feel about this.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Doesn't matter. But I still think that, you know, that Braves team, that's the grit. That's what we're looking for. Real quick, I know we're going to get to the interview, the replay, but a couple guys on the text line, we were talking earlier about shutting it down. Guy goes, well, Carl and Mike, by your argument, should we shut down Spencer Strider? Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Why?
100%.
Why? He's had injuries in the past.
Spencer Strider would be the first guy I'd shut down, then Acuna.
Yeah.
And again, guys, there's nothing to play for.
Zero.
I mean, as I said a million times, we got some good friends who work for the Braves. I'm not trying to take money out of somebody's pocket, not a vendor.
Oh, trust me, you won't. The battery's there.
Yeah, but again, the guys, we're not the guys who see the real money. The vendors, the bartenders.
Gotcha.
You know, I want people to go and look, it's a baseball game. It's still an amazing experience, and the ballpark's one of the best in the world.
I'm going to go to a few games between now and the end of the season.
Right. But all I'm saying is, when you've got guys who are dealing with the things these guys have dealt with, and there's nothing on the line, that's just common sense.
Yeah.
Shut it down. You want to give Strider one more? Oh, I'm so glad Strider pitched against the Mets in the end of August when there's nothing on the line.
No. That's where I'm at, man.
And I get these guys are competitors, but that's where you say, okay, let's come back strong. Carl, I don't even know how you handle pitching. That's why I would love to see the Braves take a new approach from manager to pitching coach to hitting coach to bench coach, complete new revamp of the entire team. And see if they can find a better way to build a mousetrap.
We're going to see if they do any or all of that or none of it soon. But before we do, let's hear from our buddy Tyler Algier. He stopped by and chopped it up with Mike and I.
Dukes and Bell with Tyler Algier after a simulated scrimmage. I don't even know what this is. What'd you think about today, man? I mean, we saw you punch it in a couple of times. I think you got some run down there in the red zone. How'd you feel about today?
Yeah, I felt like it was a good day, good learning day for everyone. So I think it should be just another step to the process to getting ready for the first game.
The battering ram, Tyler Algier with us. And when we talk about you, we talk about you a lot. We always say, well, such a great teammate. You know, I mean, you play your role. But, I mean, bro, you could be starting for other teams. Are you thinking about that at some point, you know, being the man somewhere?
I think the future will hold sooner than later. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Just focusing on today and just handling business. So,
Tyler, how does this feel different, if it does, for you now being at camp, this particular camp with this group of guys? The vibe, the you know, it feels different for us. I don't know. You tell us how you feel as what you're seeing every day.
Yeah, I feel like the chemistry is always building. I feel like we already had a good chemistry to begin with. I think the team in just in general. But I feel like, it's just exciting times, man. What do you guys think?
I'm glad you asked. No, we do. We think that's what we're telling everybody, man. We're like, look, team, there's a vibe here. It feels good, right? I mean, we're not fronting on this. I'm glad you're acknowledging this, because we've been saying it to guys like, we don't believe you. And it's like, no, for real, it's different. Anyways, Tyler Algier.
Yeah, now Carl says try not to be the hype man for this team, but it just seems like this year, the additions, the veterans, nice mix, guys like Leonard Floyd, and the Pierce factor. I mean, this guy's a wild man. What is your take from the other side?
Oh, he's insane. Both the rookies, I feel like all the rookies are freaking insane, man. They're all playing their part and doing really well. So I think it should be really good, man.
What I mean, every offseason, man, is different. What'd you do? What'd you work on? I mean, I saw a picture of you. We were in the studio, and like, you looked all swole up. And I was like, man,
back,
yeah, you were all jacked. I was like, Tyler IG is doing some things. What did you do in the offseason, man?
Yeah, man, I feel like really just staying on the routine, eating better. I feel like that's the most important thing, and then sleep. But I feel like just every year, just getting just more consistent with the routine and stuff. And then she'd train up in Florida a little bit, get the hot weather, the humidity and stuff.
Okay.
So it's not too bad, man.
You got a chef?
I don't.
No?
You're not big time enough for no man. You know, chefs are expensive. Making that What's up?
So you don't have somebody that prepares your meals? No?
Nah.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of DoorDash, though. Hey, that adds up, though. Might as well get a damn chef at that point.
So what's your go-to?
Aqua Terra is usually the spot right now.
Okay.
A little spot, a little steak, a little mac and cheese and something.
All right, man.
So it's not too bad. Or sushi.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Or sushi or some boba or some popcorn on the go.
Come on, man. I'm hungry right now.
Who knows?
It's now Cooking with Tyler, number 25. Tyler Algier with us here on Dukes of Bell in the Chef's Corner. We mentioned at the start of the interview, great rapport you have with Bijan and the team. Zach Robinson, basically, has he communicated anything different? Same role, because you seem like such a perfect compliment. We do say sometimes we want you more short yardage sometimes, but how do you see your role this season?
Yeah, sure. It should be really interesting. I feel like we're doing a lot. Actually, I don't want to say too much, man.
Okay.
It's looking solid.
Okay.
It's looking solid, man.
Take that for what it's worth, listeners.
I love how you just stopped yourself in the middle of that, and you was about to, you know, really expound on it.
No.
Yeah. And,
come on.
It's all right. It should be good.
Okay.
It should
okay.
be good.
Okay.
All right. The way it's looking, it should be good.
Is it different from last year with Zach and the play calling and the quarterback, or no?
I don't know if I want to say. Hey, man, we got the other teams listening to you, fam.
Okay, all right, fine.
I don't know what I want to say.
All right. It's Cooking with Tyler and Not Spilling the Tea on Dukes and Bell Ooh. Today. Thank you. Hey, man, we talked a lot about Michael Penix Jr., obviously thrown into the starting role. Everybody from veterans, and you've been out here a number of years, talked about his leadership, his swag. It just seems like he's really got it going on.
Yeah, no, I think just the confidence. The confidence he has on and off the field, he just knows. He knows everything, man. So I think especially him just learning from Kirk and him really just gaining that role, I think it should be – He's looking really good, man. I'm excited. Sky's the limit for that kid, man. So it should be good.
Can you describe, just going back to last season, where we felt like we were in a really good position and things started to fall apart, and then how you guys dealt with it, how you deal with it? Because, you know, winning is great, right? There's nothing like winning in the NFL, and then on Sunday, right, and then Monday comes, you're like, yeah. But as things kind of fell apart last year, yeah. And I asked that question to say, what did it teach you?
Shoot, it's hard to win in this league, man. I feel like that's really the hard one. But it all comes to just playing all around football, offense, defense, special teams. Like it's usually just playing together. I feel like obviously penalties, turnovers, like all the flags, like any yellow flag, all of that. It's bad ball.
Right.
So I feel like as long as just we really just score touchdowns and just keep putting points on the board. As an offense, I think that's our mindset. Just keep putting points on the board whenever we get the ball. Obviously, defense is going to make a stop, but just making sure we just keep our foot on the gas.
Tyler Algier with us, guys, live on Dukes and Bell. And normally, the guys will stay away. We talked about this yesterday with Ryan Neusel about goals like the playoffs, but it seems like this team almost feels like it's got to be the playoffs this year.
I think we're due for one, man. I feel about for me, shoot, I haven't really been in a true playoff or like playoff atmosphere just because independent or at BYU we were independent and stuff. So really just having like a division to win.
Right.
So I think feel like we were so close. So it should be. I'm due for one, at
right.
least.
we talked about it. This goes back to Penix, and you contributed to it. It just seems like the Commanders game we point to last year is kind of a playoff atmosphere, a game where the season was still. Talk about that experience, man.
Yeah, no, that was electric, man. I feel like everyone's mind, it just came down to the wire. It was just like that. So it's it should be good, man. It's exciting times for sure.
He says it should be good, but he's not giving us any specifics about, don't look at me like that, why it's going to be good. And we want to know why it's going to be good, but you're not saying anything. It's Tyler Algier, it's Dukes and Bell. When we talk about Michael Penix, his statement earlier in, a couple of weeks ago, his practice got underway, he said, and I think he said it this week, we should be the best offense or one of them in the league.
Yeah.
Is that what's permeating in the offensive rooms? Is that what's, you know, people are sensing?
I feel like that's what we want to feel. That's what we are going to feel. I feel like, it's just a mindset. I feel like if we want to be the best offense and can be the best offense, we will be the best offense if that's the case.
And as we said to start the interview, unselfish player, great vibe. But, you know, this isn't in essence a contract year. So I think, you know, for fans.
You're pushing it.
I just say it. I mean, in a perfect world, we can keep both you guys around. But I understand, you know, there's the economics of it. There's also goals that you set for yourself in your career. Is that correct?
It is indeed correct. It is indeed correct. I feel like it's always. Obviously, that question's going around, but it's always a blessing to stay with the team that drafted you. So I think she'll obviously work towards that, but gonna just focus on really just making it the best year possible, or just continuing to make this year good. So
Tyler, thank you, man. You punch one in today, simulated scrimmage, whatever Raw was calling this. But you look good, brother. Congratulations on the success, and we'll wish you nothing but the best this season.
No, I appreciate you guys, man.
JJ hits us up on the text line. Why are you always in someone's pocket? No, I'm just saying.
You did push him today.
I tried.
Dude, you asked him three times.
Well, you know what? If you ever listen to our interviews over the course of the summer at Falcons, sometimes Carl goes Mike Wallace. Sometimes I go Mike Wallace. Sometimes you double down. Sometimes I double down.
You were like, what if they don't have enough money for you, Tyler? What are you going to do then?
Look, I will bet you this. I bet you $100 right now. Anybody wants this action. He'll be starting for another team next year. He's going to get a chance to be the man on another team.
I like him.
I think he could be a Michael the Burner Turner in another offense.
Yeah, I like the kid a lot. I said this on social media. I like his attitude, man. He is a tremendous teammate.
He's just a good – and, again, you guys, Falcon fans who have interacted with him at charity events or here at practice, you said it, Carl. He's just a great guy.
He is. And, look, we hope he balls out this year, so maybe he can get that opportunity. The reason why we're talking about this, and we're so far away from it, it's just rare in the NFL, guys, that you have two quality A-list running backs in the same backfield, both making a lot of money.
Remember when Falcon fans go, why do we draft Bijan? You had a 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
Because Algier is really, really good, and this guy's even better.
All right, coming up, yeah, man, no man's on the way. Where are we today? Buffalo's Cafe, 3446 Winder Highway, Flowery Branch, hanging out. Come through, man. People at the bar having a good time. We'd love to see you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.